Welcome to The Takeaway on this Friday. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for listening. Well, Hillary Clinton had a tough week. A judge ordered the release of 15,000 more of her private emails, and she faced criticism, a lot of it from her own side, over donations to the Clinton Foundation. If Hillary Clinton wanted to change the subject, she had a sensational way to do it yesterday. In a speech in Reno, Nevada, Clinton was on the attack against Donald Trump and his own history of racial bias, but also turning everyone's attention to the connection between Donald Trump's campaign and the alt-right, a mostly online movement closely aligned with white nationalism.
There's always been a paranoid fringe in our politics, a lot of it arising from racial resentment, but it's never had the nominee of a major party stoking it, encouraging it, and giving it a national megaphone until now.
It was a remarkable speech in a lot of ways. It had bipartisan praise for people like Paul Ryan, George W. Bush, and Bob Dole. Instead, Clinton drew a short line from Donald Trump to forces that for decades after civil rights and voting rights and Jim Crow have been outside the American political consensus. The alt-right is on the rise and is, to its own surprise, at the center of American politics now. Rosie Gray is a politics reporter for BuzzFeed News. She's been covering the rise of the alt-right movement for years, and she joins me now. Hi, Rosie.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, Donald Trump suggests in a way that the alt-right doesn't exist and nobody knows what it is. It does exist, and we do know what it is. What is it?
Well, the alt-right is basically a movement that really got its beginnings online in communities like 4chan, Reddit, etc., but also draws from sort of older strands of white nationalism as well. It's basically a white nationalist movement that really rejects modern movement conservatism while also rejecting the left, rejecting globalism. And, you know, they're very interested in, you know, the hardline immigration stances that Trump has taken in the past, though that might be changing.
And you've been writing about how thrilled they are for the attention now, but also to be put at the very center of a presidential campaign. And we should say at the center through people like Steve Bannon, the CEO up until a week ago of Breitbart News. What's the connection there?
Well, right. I mean, I think that's really a key point here, which is that, you know, Steve Bannon, who up until last week was running Breitbart, is now at the highest levels of the Trump campaign. And I don't know whether Steve Bannon would necessarily describe himself as alt-right, but he has said in an interview that that under him, Breitbart was a platform for the alt-right. So there's certainly been, Breitbart has certainly sort of embraced that movement. And now you can draw sort of a straight line between them and the Trump campaign.
And we're going to talk in a minute about immigration policy and how Trump has been shifting on that. And you just mentioned, Rosie Gray, that up until now, the alt-right has been reveling in their connections to Donald Trump. But this is a week of shifting immigration policies and rhetoric for Donald Trump. And to the alt-right, this is kind of, as you've written, their best week ever and maybe part of their worst.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that really drew them to Donald Trump in the first place, and one of the reasons why they've really felt like they kind of found their voice electorally through Donald Trump, were his positions on immigration. Now that it seems like he's softening in his words, although, you know, last night he said hardening, so we're a little bit up in the air where this is all going to end up. But the point is, they are now not quite as sure that this is that their values are being really reflected here. I spoke with Richard Spencer, who's one of their leaders, yesterday, and he said basically that, you know, if Donald Trump backs down on deportations, he's off the train. Those are his words. He's off the train. So I do think that it's a very fraught moment for them.
In the end, Hillary's attack seemed like it might be wonderful for the alt-right. They're getting a great deal of attention now. They're getting a huge amount of attention on the internet. People are talking about them. There's a legitimizing effect of a recognition that they're attacked by the person they hate the most, which is Hillary Clinton. But also pretty terrible for Trump to have this connection drawn so starkly in front of Americans who may not have heard of the alt-right before.
Right. I mean, you know, obviously from the alt-right's perspective, it's a good thing for, you know, to get any kind of publicity. And obviously there will be people, because of that speech, Googling it, finding out about it, and some percentage of those people will think, oh, I agree with this. From the perspective of how it hurts or does not Trump, I mean, there's already been a pretty widely held perception that's been borne out in polling that he's viewed as racist. So I think this could compound that, but it's not necessarily going to be very new information for a lot of people.
Does it highlight, though, the strictures of the Trump campaign? I mean, his rise to getting 13 million votes in the Republican Party, fueled by a new brand of populist conservatism, is now in a general election. And it seems like Hillary Clinton's strategy here is to show everybody what that strategy really means for the broad middle in America.
Right. Well, one of the problems the Trump campaign has had so far in the general election is that they really have not been able to reach out beyond their base. And part of what Hillary Clinton was trying to do with that speech yesterday was not only cast Trump as racist, but in doing so, to reach out to voters that wouldn't necessarily be her voters in a normal year. So she made an explicit appeal to moderate Republicans, for example. So that was part of the goal there.
And part of the goal there, yes, is to show moderate Republicans all over the map that this is not a normal election. This is not your normal Republican Party. There are people running the show who even if you don't like me, America, even you shouldn't be comfortable with. Rosie Gray is a politics reporter for BuzzFeed. Read her reporting on the rise of the alt-right. It goes back years, and it chronicles the rise of this movement from the fringes of the internet to the center of a presidential campaign. Rosie Gray, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.